In one of his many meditations that are available online, the Franciscan friar and Roman Catholic priest Richard Rohr recounts a story by another Roman Catholic priest, Vincent Donovan, who was a missionary to the Maasai people in Tanzania many years ago. It seems that Father Donovan was teaching the people there about the seven sacraments of the church, and he described a sacrament as a physical encounter or event in which you experience the transcendent, or grace, or the holy. The people were all listening respectfully, but he could tell that they were not very satisfied when he said there were only seven such sacraments. Finally, one of the elders raised his hand and said, "I thought there would be 7,000. Many of us will hear in this story echoes of our own catechism and the teaching that sacraments are outward and visible signs of inward and spiritual grace, the two greatest sacraments being Holy Baptism and the Holy Eucharist, to which are added five of what we sometimes call sacramental rites, such as ordination and holy matrimony, that are means of grace but are not necessary for everyone, like baptism and Eucharist are. But we will also hear echoes of other experiences of the holy in our lives, times, places, and events which God uses to be present to us and which serve as channels of grace. The kinds of things, for example, that we mark with our weekly offerings to Heifer International. And so we were reminded that while the church guards its sacraments rightfully, it does not have a lock on our experience of God's presence in the world. It is one of the long-held tenets of our faith that we live in a sacramental universe, that the world we live in is holy, and that everything in it is matter for sacrament. The creation story in Genesis affirms the goodness of all that God has created. And throughout history, people have continued to meet God on mountaintops, in vast deserts, and alongside waterfalls and gently flowing streams. In storms and earthquakes, they've found expressions of God's majesty and power. And in the recurring cycle of the seasons and the movement of the stars, they've found signs of God's wisdom and faithfulness. In this view, the universe is a manifestation of God's glory, and humanity is made in God's image. The Jewish and Christian tradition proclaims that God, the God who created the world and all that is in it, never says goodbye to us, but is present in everything we experience, reaching out to touch us in whatever transpires, in times of darkness as well as light, in times of sorrow as well as joy, in times of conflict as well as peace. And the Gospels affirm that it was in material human flesh, in the person of Jesus, that God chose to be most fully present to people as the incarnate Word. In today's Old Testament reading, God uses a material thing in order to be present and to speak to Moses. As often happens in human encounters with the divine, Moses comes into God's presence unexpectedly while he is engaged in the everyday activity of tending the flocks of his father-in-law. Then, out of a burning bush, God calls to Moses, saying, "Moses, Moses." And Moses answered, "Here I am." But when Moses approaches the bush to see it more closely, he's warned, "Take off your shoes, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt, and I will send you to bring them out." Now, a couple of things are important to notice about this story, and one is that God is not the burning bush. God only chooses to speak through it. And the other is that the ground is holy ground, not because it is already holy, but because God has been there and has set it apart for a holy use. God's presence, we see, transforms everything. "But who am I," Moses asks, "who am I to do such a great thing as deliver my people? And who, by the way, are you that you should send me? If I go to the Israelites and tell them that the God of their ancestors has sent me to lead them out of slavery, and they ask the name of this God, what shall I say?" And God says something like, "I am who I am," or "I will be who I will be," or "I will cause to be what I will cause to be." Which is definitely not the kind of answer Moses is looking for. But it does accomplish one thing. It makes clear that however present God is, God's essence is shrouded in mystery. It is beyond our understanding. It is beyond even our imagination. It is, and this is the bottom line, it is beyond our control. Whenever God is present, whatever God is doing, God will be the kind of God that God is, with freedom and power to deal with every situation and to enable and empower the people, beginning with Moses, to do the same. What is certain, though, is the divine promise that God will be present with Moses every step of the way. The story of Moses' encounter with the burning bush has become one of the best-known metaphors that we have for the sacramental universe in which we live, one that is especially popular among poets. For example, Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." Earth indeed is crammed with heaven. The good news is that even in the most mundane aspects of our lives, God's gracious love and presence surround us. God is always and everywhere present if we but have the vision to recognize it. And yet we seem oftentimes to have lost the sense that the world is holy and that our everyday lives are sacramental. In fact, many of us are so distracted that we seem to be run by our lives instead of living them as grace-filled gifts from God. And in doing this, we risk living life on the surface without ever coming in touch with something larger than ourselves. We ignore the burning bush, we refuse to take off our shoes, and we close ourselves off from the holiness that pursues us. The poet Wendell Berry has written that there are no unsacred places. There are only sacred places and desecrated places. And Richard Rohr has said that it is we alone who desecrate God's one incarnate world by our inability to see truthfully, and to show reverence. In other words, the problem is not God's presence to us, but our presence to God. St. Paul's letter to the Romans reminds us that we are all vehicles of grace. We are all everyday saints living in everyday holiness. When we leave our places of comfort and security and allow our truest nature to shine forth. And the gospel reminds us to look at the world through Jesus' eyes instead of our own nearsighted ones that keep us from seeing the at-largeness of God. So let us continue to follow the teaching of the church and come together in this place to celebrate God's gracious presence in the Eucharist. But let us also go forth mindful of our sacramental world around us. And that world is filled with places and moments in which to encounter the holy. May we open our eyes and see them by the thousands. Amen.